John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Long shot for a big score, you need Silly Underdog Picks.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It may be a long shot, but it's all you've got. It's time to pick your dark horse.
Not your nose.
This is Silly Underdog Picks.
Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Silly Underdog Picks. Now on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. Underdog is here.
All right, it is underdog time. Hour number three, Darren, Donick, and Chase, Pete and Terry's Tavern. You have got 45 minutes to get down here and register to win. Folks have been coming in here having some lunch, $12.50, burger and beer. At 12:45, we are going to draw a lucky winner. People have been stuffing the box. You don't have to be present to win, but you do have to be present in here to fill out your registration and make yourself eligible to be in the building tonight as the Predators host the Minnesota Wild. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, we now say hello to our panel. Forever Titan, Chris Sanders from Ohio State. Chris, how you doing?
Sir. Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. Just come off a big win and last week in football, so I'm ready to roll. We lost in silly underdog picks, but hey, ready to go, big dog.
You got, I was going to say it's a little quiet there. My phone was a little quiet from from Forever
Titan. I knew you weren't going to answer. That's why I didn't call.
Hey, by the way, one of the things we should say to Chris, though, is give him some shout-outs here. SMU is ranked for the first time.
Yes.
Since before the scandal.
Yeah.
Right?
Since the
80s? Yeah.
Since Pony Express?
They're in the top 25, 5-0.
So should they be getting investigated?
I'm saying kudos.
You know, actually, we're getting investigated because when they beat TCU, I got some underlying stuff that they will win, so they are investigating right now.
You did get some inside info, did you not? Which, hey, well, good for you.
Little CJ. Yeah.
That's right. So you guys got the win over Innsworth on Friday.
Yeah, we did, man. I mean, Innsworth's a quality team. We went out there, and I'm going to give you a little coach talk right now. We went out there and gave it our all and executed and did our thing. I sound like Coach Vrabel.
Now you gave 110%, one play at a time, brick by brick.
Yeah,
oh,
and you
okay,
know,
I'm
we,
getting a little
we,
sideways now.
And we did our fundamentals.
There we go. That's some coach talk right there. Speaking of coaches, he's down in Rutherford County, Riverdale. We just lost Chris Sanders, so we'll have to get him back on there. The greatest quarterback in Browns history, what Baker Mayfield is striving to be, is to get the Browns to the playoffs, and the last quarterback to do that was our own Kelly Holcomb. Kelly, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing fantastic. How did things fare for you guys last week?
They didn't fare too well. Obviously, you didn't see it on TV.
I'm sorry.
We went into the fourth quarter up 22-3, and we get beat on the last play of the game. That wasn't very fun.
So, and that wasn't a good idea for me to bring that up, is basically what you're saying, and I get that. That's
on me. Very good. I was going to say that if Chris didn't come back on the air, it was okay because.
We're having a little trouble back there.
I know what's happening.
Kelly Hogan got that cricket phone. I told him about that.
Well, we're having a little issues back at the studio. It seems like we're having problems going one player, one person to the next. And I was going to tell Kelly, as he calls back in, Chris, and I want you to hear this, because I deserve that, because I didn't see. But in fairness, as we bring Kelly back into the mix, I will make my excuse. There was the final preseason game, so I was working during the Preds game, and I was also in our studio because it was a road game. We have big, beautiful televisions in there. I was watching my underdog pick go down in flames. I mean, getting blown up. I don't even know why I was watching anymore. It was such a disgraceful pick that everybody, when I made the pick, was like slamming their paper down and going, man, we wanted that. But we'll get to that in a minute. So, Kelly, that's why I didn't see. I was working and watching my underdog pick get beat down like probably no pick has ever been beaten down in this contest is history, ever.
Yeah, and I think I texted you, too, and I'm glad you made that pick because that was my first pick.
Yeah, yeah, I do remember that.
Sorry.
So, yeah, we'll get to that review, that sorry review of my pick. We also say hello to another receiver, guy who played in the league for 15 years, on Morning Drive every day, Monday through Friday, 6 until 10 a.m., Derek Mason, affectionately known as D-Mace. D-Mace, what's up?
D-Mace. Hey, what's going on, fellas? You know, I was close to having a three-peat. I was that close, man. My team lost by 3 points. UCLA coming off a big win a week prior. The quarterback gets hurt. When he went down, man, I was like, are you serious? Here we go again. So I couldn't pull a three-peat, so, but I'm going to start a winning streak back up. It only takes one to get a winning streak going. Only takes one.
What I have a question. What is a three-peat? I'm just asking for a friend.
We win 3 times in a row.
Oh, okay. That's, I have no idea what that is. Sorry. Chase, do you know what that is?
No.
No. Yeah, you don't know what anything is.
No,
no,
no. If you would have said Ofer, we both would have perked up and said, oh, we know what Ofer is.
I've lost like 5 in a row, so I know what that's like. I'm the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah,
what's
the term for 5 losses in a row?
It means you're terrible.
Hey, I'm tanking for Tua over here. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. So you're vying for the first pick next year?
Something like that.
Okay. We have a development with one of D-Mace's partner, a new addition to Silly Underdog Picks, who, you know, the first 3 weeks came with some witty, you know, witty material, was funny, was getting some winners out there, and then he's kind of gone underground. And this is now 2 weeks in a row, and I get it. Today we have to be a little bit gentler with him because he is doing something for a good cause.
He is. So he is in the Our Kids Golf Tournament, which is something that Braden Gall, co-host of Morning Drive, that he's very involved in. So Nick, being the golfer that he is, has gone out and played in that. So I think he gets a valid excuse today. What was last week?
Last week was a dentist appointment, and that was just so incredibly lame.
I thought he was getting like his head shined or something, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, you'll need to be careful there. Some people you may offend on this panel with saying that, so just saying.
Sorry, Willie. Sorry,
as Willie chuckles.
Who are you talking about?
D-Mace may come through his phone and get you.
D-Mace knows he's my guy.
It is time, unfortunately, for some of us, that we must review. So, Willie D, the floor is yours.
Willie! Oh, Willie D! Willie D!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your commissioner speaking. Silly Underdog Picks 2019, well underway. Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Let's look back on week number 5. First of all, a very popular contest again online. And congratulations to our winner, Monica Perkle from Gallatin.
Nice.
It was a relatively low-scoring week. She won the tiebreaker, but only 14 points, so not a lot of big dogs won last week. Let's look at the most popular picks. The leader, with 24% of the audience, selected the Trojans of USC. That was 24% of the audience, almost a quarter, went with the Trojans. They fell to the Washington Huskies. They were a double-digit dog, so it looked pretty attractive. And, of course, one of our panel picked that one as well. 23%, close behind, selected Georgia Tech against Temple. Hey, correct me, did Georgia Tech win that game? I didn't go back and see that one. And then 22%.
Temple won.
Temple did win that one, okay. So also a loss. 22% selected Boston College against Wake Forest, another loss, although Boston College played very well in the game. So that's how the online pickers looked. Now let's go to our panel. Darren McFarland had the first pick, and he entered the contest 0 for the season. trying to get a win before the month of September ended, he selected Maryland, a six-point home dog against Penn State. Maryland, a dangerous team.
I thought it was seven.
Playing at home. Does it really matter at this point? I had six down. Darren, as
you
just painted the picture, kick back on a Friday night. I'm going to watch my underdog. Full spotlight. Final score. Penn State, 59. Maryland, nothing. Hello.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like I said, I think it's the most embarrassing pick in the history of this contest, which has a long history.
Look,
I don't know what to say.
Are you sure? George had some pretty bad picks.
No, that's 50, some bad ones.
59 to nothing?
As long as you give it your all, that's all that matters.
Did he, though?
Well, I felt like last Thursday I was giving it my all.
You did.
You guys, you know, were, oh, man. I mean, you just heard Kelly say that was going to be his pick.
I liked the pick. Here's the thing.
I had the first pick. That's the one I identified as the sweet pick. The sweet pick. The one that was there for the taking. I identified that as the number one pick.
Whoops.
And they lost at home 59 to nothing.
Oops.
So let me say this. I usually write the picks down so I have a record that I can go back and see how you guys did while I'm, you know, trying to see how I've done. But I was at the beach, so I couldn't do that. So I send Darren a text and I go, who did you take again? And he gives me this just, like, I'm not even going to answer that.
It's called a stink eye.
I mean, he was... And then I remembered, I'm like, my bad.
So Darren drops to 0-5 on the season.
I like the way Chase just presented that story. Like, I honestly forgot. I was just,
I did.
I was just innocently asking, hey, who was your underdog
pick again? Yeah.
I was on the beach. My mind was elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to get to your pick in a moment here, Chase. But the second pick belonged to the rookie Nick Cale, who has entered the contest in a tie for third. He went with Boston College, a 6.5-point dog against Wake Forest. But Wake Forest continues to be a strong story on the season. They've had an outstanding start. They held off BC 27-24, so Nick falls short, drops to 2-3 on the season. 10.5 points is where he stands. He is tied in the contest with Derek Mason, who had the third pick. Mace went with UCLA, a 6-point dog out west at Arizona. Herm Edwards against Chip Kelly against Kevin Sumlin, a couple of big-name coaches. UCLA had the dramatic win the week before. Derek said, let's take the Bruins. Tight game, but Arizona holds serve at home 20-17. Derek, no points for a cover, unfortunately, in our contest, so you dropped to 2-3, and you are still in a deadlock with your co-worker, Nick Cale.
Yeah, I got to find a way. This week has to be the week where I take sole possession of third place. Is there any way I can move up to second? I would have to take a long shot.
Still a long way to go in the contest. Long way to go. Derek is in a tie for third with Nick at the moment. That brings us to Kelly Holcomb, leader in the competition coming, and the defending champion, staying with the philosophy that worked very well for him. Get off to a good start and then make short incremental gains, throwing for the sticks, as we like to call it. He selected the Baylor Bears, a 2.5-point home dog against Iowa State. Iowa State leads 21-20 late. Baylor works themselves down for a game-winning field goal try. They call upon a kicker who had never kicked a college field goal in his life, and he nailed it. Baylor wins 23-21. 2.5 points for Kelly. He's now 4-1 on the season, and now has 23 points to lead the contest. Kelly, well done.
I'm hearing a lot of stuff from Chris, man. I mean, I told y'all, now y'all got to come catch me at par, dude. I just got to finish the pars.
I mean, you could even take some bogeys at this point.
I know, it just stinks. Hey, like, there's no comebacks anymore. Like, this is
Kelly, I'm coming to
worst.
Get you, baby. I'm telling you.
Gosh, I just have to sit here quietly.
You got to sit down with your girl, Chris. You got to sit down with your girlfriend and pick a better team.
The fifth pick last week went to Chase McCabe, also with Darren. This one was via the beach. He had a panel down there on the beach, though. In fact, there was a lot of whispering going on. There was a lot of rustling of paper and people meeting in a committee room. I pictured a whole, you know, like a card table full of guys with cigars and stuff. He selected Washington State, a 6-point dog out west at Utah.
And unfortunately, Chase, this one, not as lopsided as Darren's 59-0, but 38-13, and the thing was pretty much over at the half. So the Utes win. Chase drops to 0-5. So who's going to win first, Chase or Darren?
That, I mean, that's the question.
This is becoming a little
mini
competition. Game within the game.
Darren might not score the whole game, the whole time.
That's great. Yeah. If I could just get my team to score a touchdown, that would be a good start.
Ouch. So, Chase, very little comment. What happened with the panel? What happened, the committee? What was going on down there?
Look,
can you tell we're both defeated? I mean,
I'm trying to get you guys to put your finger on the problem.
I've done everything. I've tried to go for the Hail Mary. I've tried to go for the short yardage.
You tried to go with your alma mater.
With the alma mater. I mean, you know, I tried to rally a fan base. The Vols, I mean, that let me down. I've tried to do it all, and nothing has worked. I went to a committee. I mean, we had the selection committee last week. It just nothing is working.
Back to the drawing board. That brings us to Chris Sanders, final pick last week.
Yes, sir.
He went with Southern Cal, the most popular pick among our listeners. Yes, 11-point dog at Washington. USC, though, has got injury issues at quarterback, and that has hurt them. Washington, a very good team and tough up there. They're able to hang in there and win 28-14. So Chris drops to 2-3, but the Forever Titan still in second place, very much in striking range of Kelly, with 12.5 points.
Hey, this is the week to come and get it. But the one thing that I'm very excited is I have 2 wins and Darren has 0. I mean, that just makes me feel good. I mean, even if I lose the game, wow, I can always go back to that Darren has 0.
It's really a confidence boost, isn't it?
I was going to say, thanks for rubbing my nose in that one.
Okay. Okay. When we come back.
I just got the scalded dog treatment from Chris Sanders.
Yep.
Sticking my nose in the rug.
On the other side, we will have our picks for week number 6. Nick Cale will have the first pick. Derek Mason, the second pick. Kelly Holcomb, the leader in the competition, the third pick, followed by Chase, fourth. Chris Sanders, 5th, and Darren McFarland, 0-5 and picking 6th. He is facing an uphill battle here. Let's see what he comes back with. When we make our picks, here from Pete and Terry's Tavern on opening night in Smashville, 102.5 The Game. Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We're at Pete and Terry's Tavern. By the way, you still have 20 minutes to get here and drop your name in the hat for a pair of tickets to tonight's opener, Predators and Wild. We got a great lunch crowd here. They've got lunch specials. It is packed. So jump in, drop your name in the hat. You might win. And if nothing else, you'll enjoy a nice lunch and you'll be able to hang with us. All right, time for the picks for week 6. Guys, the commissioner had to make a move here. I forgot the newspaper this morning. So we're going to CBSSports.com for the official lines because there is only one line on there and not a series of lines. So we won't argue. We will go with CBS Sports.
No.
Kelly, this is right up your alley. This is what you've been complaining about for years.
What?
It's ridiculous, man. I'm telling you, it happens every week. Something.
Not every week.
Well, you know, he
something,
had to get...
Something happens every week. You're either not there, you leave the paper, you stub your toe, something.
Well, he had to pack and go on the road. Oh, wait a minute. No, they're at home. Yeah, no, he didn't have to do anything. Oh, wait a minute. He's not even doing the game tonight. Oh. Yeah, so...
Willie,
so there's that.
Listen,
I'm only human as the commissioner.
I try to defend you, but come on, you have one job.
You know, Kelly, I feel like he's consistent with his complaints of the shortcomings of the commissioner, but I feel like you guys are just piling on because you're 0-5.
Well, no, we're saying that his complaints usually are warranted.
Yes,
and you've given him more fodder with today showing up with nothing.
He's passionate. You know, he's leading. He's passionate about what he does.
Well,
that's
it
okay.
Happens over
I can
over,
handle it.
Guys. I mean, let's fix it.
You know, he logs over complaints. Over. He logs complaints with the league office, and, you know, we discuss them. Just like behind the scenes, you know, off the air, the coaches and the referees get together a lot of times with plays. You know, they break down the tape. Mike Vrabel, the pass interference, the low ground. Same thing with Kelly. You know, he and I work these things out. So, Kelly, I'd appreciate it if you'd keep this, you know, off the air like we
okay,
normally
no
do.
Okay, no problem. No problem.
I think what he's saying is you're Vontaze Burfict, and you should be suspended for the rest of the year because
I don't,
you have a pattern and a history
harsh.
Of this stuff.
That's just too harsh.
Well, the NFL didn't think it was too harsh because he had a pattern, and Kelly's saying You have a pattern.
Well, you're like the guy that wants to break up the NCAA. You have no, you know, okay, fine, break up the NCAA. We got this new rule, but who takes over? You got to have somebody on top.
Okay.
I'm your man.
All right.
I may not be perfect like the NCAA, but we're going to get the job done. All right. Let's go to week six. Nick Cale, I suppose, has passed along his vote.
His to me.
To Max Hurst for a second straight week. Almost got him a win last week. But, again, no points for a cover in our contest. The underdog must win outright. So we turn it back to the studio to producer Max.
Dilly dilly.
All right. We will be going with the second Philly-related thing in a row after the Always Sunny did not work last week. But we were close. We were close. The BC boys almost got it done. And this week, Nick Cale is honored to select, or I am honored to select on Nick Cale's behalf, a team that Boston College actually beat, Rutgers, against, at home, Darren's favorite team, Maryland. And I just want to give Rutgers a shout-out because the Scarlet Knights have the same amount of wins this season as the Vegas Golden Knights, who have played one game. They both have one win.
Who's coaching them this week?
Butch Jones?
The guy who threw basketballs at people in practice? I don't know.
They've had some issues at Rutgers, haven't they? Oh, my goodness. The Scarlet Knights of Rutgers are 12-point home dogs against the Maryland Terrapins coming off of the 59-0 drubbing at the hands of James Franklin and Penn State. Intriguing pick.
I got to be honest. I know I have no. I should not be able to weigh in or comment. That's a horrible pick. That is an absolute loser pick.
You're saying
pick.
No chance.
There's no chance of that. That is a loser pick.
How often has Rutgers been picked in our competition? Not often. And they are often an underdog.
My guess is Maryland is going to take out everything that happened last Friday under Rutgers. I could see 59-0 the other way.
Willie, often an underdog is a nice way to put it for Rutgers football. You're a kind, kind soul.
I did do a Rutgers. When Greg Schiano was the coach, and Rutgers was on the rise but had not gotten there yet. I did a Rutgers-Vanderbilt game at Vanderbilt Stadium, and Rutgers came from behind with a guy named Brian Leonard. Remember, he played for a long time in the NFL, and they beat Jay Cutler. In the Commodores. That was a bad memory.
Did you do on Fox Sports South?
No, it was back
FSN?
In the old days of CSS.
Okay.
Comcast
I was close.
Sports Southeast.
I was
and,
close.
They were not in high def.
They were not in high def. That is true. Which is probably a good thing when I was on
grainy
camera.
Footage.
Ooh, yeah. That brings us to the one and only Derek Mason, who enters the week tied for third, 10.5 points with Nick Cale.
All right, boys. I am going to go. There were two games that I was looking at. Both of them were Big Ten games.
Just say it. We know what you're going to say. Just say it.
I'm not going to go there because I don't want to do that because I have too much invested in that game. So I don't want to pick it as my silly underdog and have to sit there and watch it, you know, for both. You know, because it's my alma mater, then I'm hoping to win and fill it up underdog. I don't think they will win that game, Michigan State. Their defense hadn't been playing very well, and Ohio State, I believe, is probably the second-best team in the country. But I'm going with Pat Fitzgerald. I think Northwestern will beat Nebraska.
Huh. Got a slap. Oh, wow. Two slaps from Chase.
Double slap. Chase McCabe
I gotta
is
be honest,
irate.
That
he is irate.
That is not a good sign, D-Mace. Chase really wanted that pick.
It really isn't.
That is not.
Derek, I'm sorry.
That is not the ringing endorsement you were looking for.
Maybe, just maybe. This is the week where Chase can be right, but not get
Look.
The pick.
Everyone on this panel will understand what I'm about to say. I just want to win before Darren does. That's all I want.
The Northwestern Wildcats, a 7.5-point dog on the road at Nebraska. And, of course, in Lincoln last week, Nebraska got annihilated on their home turf against the Buckeyes. It was over at the end of the first quarter. But Northwestern has struggled some, coming in at 1-3. We'll see what happens. It's a big swing game for both of those team seasons. That brings us to the leader in the competition, Kelly Holcomb, currently with 23 points.
Take me home.
Ooh, is he going to pick West Virginia?
I was watching the Blues game last night. The whole crowd was singing this song. Do you know that? Like, they turned it off and they continued on singing?
Kelly, it's becoming very popular. It inspired us to play this at our travel ball tournament last weekend for the boys, for the kids.
It's amazing, man. Everybody sings it. When it comes on, man, everybody sings it. It's crazy to me.
It's working for you.
All right, so I'm going to go with the same theme here. I'm going to have them come get me. I've got two games, and I know nobody's really interested in my games. I'm going to say this team has been doing well for a long time, but I'm going to say that they're going to have their second defeat of the season. So I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bearcats over Central Florida.
Really?
Oh, Chase, it's a 3.5-point game.
I don't care. I just want to get on the
you
board.
You would have to win 22 of those games to get back in the contest.
24. Hey, Chase, this beat Michigan State. If you win, you get right back in.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, why would Cincinnati ever be on your board?
Because I want to get on the board. Well, I'm not going to win the competition at this point.
Well, you're not going to pick 3.5-point games, that's for sure.
You can't do that, Chase. You got to go for it.
You do.
The 3-1 Cincinnati Bearcats are a 3.5-point home dog taking on number 18 UCF, coming in at 4-1 under coach Josh Heupel. Interesting pick. That's a very intriguing game in that league right there. We'll see how good Cincinnati is. All right, that brings us to Chase McCabe, who has thrown two temper tantrums. He's thrown three water bottles. He's knocked cans over here in Pete and Terry's. He's making a spectacle here in front of all these Predator fans.
Cause lonely guys could be never broke my heart. Like diamond rings and football teams have torn this boy apart.
Football teams have definitely torn this boy apart over the last few weeks since I joined this competition. You're right, 3.5-point games aren't going to get it done for me at this point. I have to gamble. I'm not going to take Michigan State, but this could be just as bad. Give me the Commodores +7.
That's a good pick, Chase.
Thanks, Derek.
I like that.
The Vanderbilt Commodores are a 7-point dog on the road against the Ole Miss Rebels. A pivotal game.
That's a wrap.
A pivotal game for both programs. Saturday night on the SEC Network.
Gentlemen, your thoughts.
Anybody had that down? Anybody contemplating that one?
No.
It's not bad.
Oh, you're saying
it has a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Well, I mean, Vanderbilt has played well against Ole Miss.
I know. They have.
Chase, I'll be there. I'll be rooting for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Of course, Max won't know his name by halftime, but, you know.
Well, have they started selling beer yet, or is that, well, you know, next month?
There's a thing called the Grove.
Yeah, so. That's true.
I'll remember the line.
The outlook is bleak.
The beer line.
For the loser of that game in terms of making a bowl. All right, that brings us to Chris Sanders. Right,
you're
now
there.
In second place, still very much in the competition, trying to catch Kelly Holcomb.
Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody has no up. And they stay there, and they say yeah.
All right. This one is for Kelly Holcomb, because this is going to get me right back in the game to catch him and win the whole thing. I'm going with Stanford over Washington. That's my pick. That ain't going to do it. I'm telling you, okay. Hey, I got your number, because instead of calling Darren, I'm going to call you, and I'm going to talk mad trash, baby. And this is what my girl said. She said, we're coming after you. So she just letting you know, we're coming after you, big dog.
I'll be here all day. I'll be here till 6, dog. Just call me.
Stanford, 16.5? point underdog at home. What has happened to David Shaw and the Cardinals?
This is an intriguing pick. Stanford coming in at 2-3, a 16.5 point dog.
Let's go. That's all I need to hear.
15 Washington. Chris tried to get a win over Washington last week unsuccessfully with USC. Now he's going to test the Huskies on the road at Stanford. We'll see. 16.5. That could be a huge turnaround. Chris is fired up.
I make sure I have everybody's number because when we win, I'm calling y'all verbatim, everybody, one at a time. So just get ready.
He'll do it, too.
I look forward to that call. All right.
All right, sounds good, guys.
That brings us to Darren McFarland, the final pick of week six. He's 0-5. He's picking last. His Indians have been eliminated from the Major League Baseball season. What does he have in store?
Indian fever. It starts from the very first inning.
There's nowhere to go but up.
Indian fever.
It's a brand new beginning, Darren. You're 0-5. It's time to start.
It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian fever.
Be a believer.
Cleveland Indians.
That's just not the attitude. That's not the attitude. Come on, I thought we were going to get inspired.
Hey, Darren.
Check Twitter.
You said there's no other place to go but up. Yeah, it is. You can go further down, okay?
Wait a minute.
Derek is claiming
Chase is trying to break stories on Twitter? What is wrong with you? He looked at my pick and put it out on Twitter.
Oh.
Max hit it. To the place I belong. West Virginia is my pick.
Oh, my goodness.
You have to admit, that was kind of funny.
You are trying to break. He put sources. Oh, my goodness. Give me West Virginia at home.
That's hilarious.
West Virginia is a 10.5 point home dog against the visiting Texas Longhorns, who are number 11. Both teams coming in with a record of 3-1. So Texas on the road. Interesting game in the Big 12 on ABC 2:30 in the primetime spot. But Derek Mason makes a good point. I said there's nowhere to go up but up. That is true. But as Derek says, maybe you haven't bottomed out yet. You can keep going lower.
So you're saying there's a chance.
He's saying basically if you're 0-5, you can go 0-6.
That could be in the cards. Kelly, I heard a groan from you. What was that? Wow. That was another horrific pick, or what was the groan for?
I don't remember groaning. I'm just listening to you guys right now with me being up. I'm just listening to all this chatter on the other end. I just find it comical a little bit.
I thought I heard somebody groan. I didn't know what the groan meant.
Sorry, it wasn't me.
All right. Chris, was that you?
No.
Chris is paying no attention to your pick at this point. Right. You've got
to be honest, nobody cares about my pick.
Nobody cares.
Not at all. I'm not a threat.
Well, I care. I tried to break the story. So
You did.
Okay, let's review the picks for week six for the Silly Underdog Selections 2019. They are as follows. We had three people pick double-digit dogs this week. This is interesting. The number one man was Nick Kale. He selected the Rutgers Scarlet Knights out of the Big Ten, a 12-point home dog against Maryland. A couple new members of the Big Ten, Rutgers needing a win big time in Piscataway, New Jersey. Derek Mason selects out of the Big Twin, out of the Big Ten, does not select the Big Twin. He does not take the Spartans of Michigan State, his beloved alma mater. Instead, he goes with Pat Fitzgerald's Northwestern Wildcats, a 7.5-point dog on the road in Lincoln, Nebraska, against Scott Frost's Cornhuskers. The third pick belongs to Kelly Holcomb, defending champion and leader in the competition. He takes the Cincinnati Bearcats, a 3.5-point dog, playing at home against the UCF Golden Knights. Not to be confused with the Vegas Golden Knights. It is opening day in Smashville.
Yes, it is.
Chase McCabe, looking for his first win in the competition, goes down to the Grove and selects the Vanderbilt Commodores, a 7-point dog facing the Ole Miss Rebels.
Who you with? VU. Who you with? VU.
Oh, we're back to singing the songs again. Oh, that's
more of a
that
chant.
Worked. Yeah, that worked out well last time. Here
boy,
we go.
I'm a little bit back. Worried. Now.
Mark that one.
I'm a little bit worried.
Can I give Chase
that.
A better chant?
Yes.
Down in Oxford, hottie totty, gosh almighty, dem doors, y'all.
That works.
Chris Sanders, he goes out west. He has been peppering the Pac-12. Last week, he tried to get a nip at Washington, fell short with USC. This week, he goes even bigger and selects Stanford. The Cardinal, a 16.5-point home dog against Washington, coming to town. And then finally, Darren McFarland, trying to win the race out of the cellar, selecting the West Virginia Mountaineers.
I love the way Chris is laughing at that. He's...
In the 2:30 primetime spot, they will be singing Country Road. They'll be going nuts in Morgantown as the Texas Longhorns come in and take on West Virginia. All right. Remember, you can play online by going to thegamenashville.com. Make your three picks every week for great weekly prizes. Those are the picks for week number 6. Happy October, everybody, and good luck.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. All right, we're at Pete and Terry's Tavern, and I know there's a lot of celebrities in here. There's been a lot of celebrities in here for the last hour, so it explains the packed house in Pete and Terry's Tavern. Other than, and also, it's just a really cool place to hang out, right, have lunch. But there is also another reason that this place has been jam-packed for the last hour. It is time. Yes, Pete, that is one of them. He's signifying, you know, maybe some there's some good drink specials here you can take advantage of. But we're also going to give away some tickets to tonight's game. And I think it's only appropriate since Pete Weber has popped his head in here.
It is his tavern.
Is half the name. It's half his tavern.
Well, half his tavern.
Half his tavern.
Which half is his half?
But he gets to draw. He gets to draw a whole name, not a half a name. So we're going to shake it up. Well, let's see if I can get the sound effect. So you can tell there's been a lot of people coming in. Now things are starting to quiet down a little bit as Pete Weber draws the winner to tonight's game.
Blair Patterson.
Patterson?
Is that right? Yeah.
Patterson.
Looks like Patterson. Blair Patterson. Remember, you didn't have to be present to win. People
right.
have been filing in here for the last 2.5 hours filling that out. So if Blair is not, I didn't hear my scream, so Blair may not be here.
We will contact Blair. The tickets will be left at will call.
Thank you, Pete Weber. Job well done, man.
Good job, Pete.
That's why your name is on this tavern.
Thank you, Pete.
That was
all right.
That was well executed right there. By Pete Weber. We'll have A.J. Malesko join us, who will be in the booth with Chris Cuthbert. And she will join us.
And Mike Milbury.
Mike Milbury. Yeah, that's right. Mike Milbury back in the house.
Comments aside. the Smashville people are going to.
Is it kind of ironic that A.J. will be between the benches? Thank you, Pete.
Yes.
Mike Milbury back in the house. Is it a coincidence? PK's not here anymore. Mike's back in the house. I'm just saying.
Are you being Homer Simpson? What are you doing there? Look, you know, I and I'm excited to talk to AJ since she'll be in between the benches. That'll be cool. But, yeah, it is a little ironic that Mike Milbury comes in the house for game one. But... pretty cool to get the national spotlight. Willie, I know that means, you know, you don't have much to do tonight. You kind of wander around.
Doing a lot of different things tonight. A lot of little things. Not in the booth.
Got the gold walk tonight, or today.
Yeah, the gold carpet.
Yep.
The big entrance.
Oh.
Yeah.
And we should bring that up, that we will actually have a presence on the gold carpet. I'll be out there with Gina Berg from our staff, and we'll be doing some Periscope stuff, talking to the guys as they walk down the carpet. So you can check it out on Twitter at 1025 The Game and tune in for that. We'll do some stuff on Instagram as well.
I was reading some stuff on Twitter during the break. Jalen Ramsey did not practice today. Neither did Giants running back Saquon Barkley. I think everybody feels like that may be a little bit of a stretch, even though I've got him in two leagues. I would love for him to suit up and play this weekend.
Oh, there's no way.
He's not playing. But
the fact that he's
have been,
even talking about
right,
it, that's
the,
way
right,
ahead
they
of schedule,
are
right?
showing. There's already video out there. His workouts, I mean, is next week out of the question?
They
I
play
mean,
Thursday
I
next
know.
Week.
Oh,
so that's interesting.
That yeah, okay. Max saying they play Thursday next week.
But if you own him in a fantasy league and he only misses three games, that is a big, big plus.
Yeah. So, but he did not practice, although they feel like, man, he may be a lot more closer than maybe sooner rather than later, right, when it comes to the return of Saquon Barkley. What are they going to do with Jalen Ramsey? I know the owner came out and said, hey, he's got to be a part of this.
That's great.
We got to keep. But that's all great. But if he doesn't want to be there, what are you doing? What are you going to do? Keep having him go with the team and not dressing?
Why would you want to have a guy that doesn't want to be there on your team?
Just waiting for the phone to ring for all those first-round picks that they're supposed to get from.
And stand on the sidelines in his street clothes?
Apparently the phone's not ringing for the first-round picks that everybody wants to trade for him. But whose fault is that? That's his own fault. He wanted to be traded. You play hard. You show up. And you go 100%. And you let your feelings be known behind the scenes. Now he screwed himself and he screwed his team. So that's no man's land.
I was reading Brett McMurphy's tweet just now. I mean, literally just now. West Virginia starting safety Jovani Stewart will sit out Saturday's game versus Texas. He may be lost for the season, as he also considers being redshirted or transferring. All right, I'd like to make my pick real quick. Can we get those guys back on the line?
It's already down in Penn.
Well done, Max.
The hits just keep on coming in Silly Underdogs.
Oh, goodness.
What do I do? Tonight, intriguing game out in Seattle. We were talking to Hal Gill during one of the breaks, who's still hanging out with us. You heard him last hour. Skillsy, who is good friends with Steve Hutchison, who I believe will get into the Hall of Fame in Canton. He is going to get in there. Former Titan offensive lineman. But he is doing work for the Seahawks, and they actually host the Rams tonight in Seattle. Seattle, a slight favorite by a point.
I'm seeing.
And this is the Rams coming off giving up 55 points at home in a loss to Tampa last weekend. How do they respond? And Jared Goff has been extremely shaky this year, especially the last couple of weeks.
Well, are you
does not look good?
I'm actually asking this question. It's not a rhetorical question. Are you surprised by that, or did you expect a fall off? Because Sean McVay's the shiny new toy. His offense, he takes the job. He makes Jared Goff look like this just prolific passer, even though I don't think anyone really thinks he is. He just built an offense around him. He did what an OC, a head coach, should do, and built an offense that works for the quarterback. But now, as we know, the rest of the league has figured it out. And so I think there's a fall off. So I'm not that surprised that he hasn't looked as good as he has in last year especially. But what do you guys think?
Are you declaring the Rams dead?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, are you surprised that there's been a little bit of a drop-off?
That was their first loss of the season.
Yeah, but you just said he hasn't looked as
good. Well, he's got six touchdowns and six picks. He's thrown
a
lot of interceptions.
So that's not what we've seen from him
since
Sean McVay got there.
I think he'll be all right. I still think the Rams are in the window. I just think they had a letdown. I don't think it's a beginning of the end kind of thing. I am really intrigued. Seattle sitting there 3-1 playing this game at home. Wow, chance to go to 4-1. I just didn't think they were that good. Seattle's favorite in this game, very slight favorite, but it's basically a pick 'em game.
They lost Sue, the Rams. The Seahawks gained Clowney. Did you see Clowney last week? He had a touchdown. So Sue had a touchdown to put the dagger in the Rams' coffin for the Bucs. Gurley, he's rushed for just over 200 yards through four games. He doesn't look like the same. I mean, it's what we talked about, right? It doesn't look the same. And so I guess to what you were saying, Chase, Is it fair to say, are we starting to see some cracks in the armor of the Rams, even though that was just their first loss? But we talked about it. Remember we had the caller say, well, what example is there of, you know, not having the quarterback and being able to win? And I immediately went to the Bears and the Rams of last year, because if you have those ridiculous over-the-top defenses and you can run the ball, you can do a whole lot of winning with two guys at quarterback that nobody has in the elite class.
I do think.
But if the Rams don't have that over-the-top defense, which the Bears still do, but if the Rams don't have that over-the-top defense, maybe there are going to be some problems out in L.A.
Let's look at the Seahawks here for a second, because I agree. Goff is, he's getting to that point in his career where he's at a crossroads. It's like, is he just a serviceable starter, or is he going to start playing like the first pick in the draft? I mean, expectations will be high for him to be a guy that can carry you to victory and not just rely on the great supporting cast, because at some point they won't have that. But the Seahawks are an interesting one, because they're now built much more around Russell Wilson than they were years ago when they had the Legion of Boom and they had the great running game with Marshawn Lynch. And they were built to win, with him being more of a complimentary in that first stage of his contract. They're 3-1, but they beat Cincinnati by one. They beat Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh in the game that Roethlisberger got hurt. And they beat Arizona. So they have not beaten. This will be the toughest team they've played, right? Yeah. They lost to New Orleans in a game that at home you would have thought that they had a great chance to win, because it was Bridgewater playing, right? It was not Drew Brees. So they're 3-1, but it's a 3-1 that you wonder, are they really that good?
Well, and it's interesting looking at L.A. They beat Carolina. They have beaten New Orleans. And then they beat Cleveland. Those are their three wins.
At Cleveland on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, and then they turn around and lose to Tampa. So it goes back to something that we've discussed on the show. Of the NFL right now is in that just trying to figure it out phase and what it is. So many 2-2 teams, so many teams winning on the road. You can't really – now, you know, you look at New England, you go, okay, they're pretty good. Look at Kansas City, okay, they're pretty good. But Detroit gave them a game last week. New Orleans seems to be, even with Teddy Bridgewater, they seem to have a pretty good team around him. So it's in that kind of point right now of, all right, who's really going to stand out? But I'm with you on Seattle. This is their toughest test. I like them, though, at home. We know how tough of a place that is to play.
I take the Rams tonight. I don't know. I just feel like they're better than the Seahawks, and the bounce back from the bad performance.
Yeah.
But Seattle will drop back-to-back home games.
I'll be impressed if Seattle wins this game.
Back-to-back home games.
Playing at home, that's playing a tough place to win.
But that means they would drop back-to-back home games. I mean, how many times have we seen that in Seattle?
Probably not very often.
The last about 8 years. Usually they're lucky to lose two games in a season. You're saying back-to-back. Honestly, I feel the same way, Willie, but I have a hard time thinking Seattle's going to drop back-to-back at home. But I kind of feel like the Rams are desperate.
Home doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
In the NFL this year.
You're right about that. All right, we'll come back. AJ Malesko will join us. She'll sit down at the table. We'll talk about this Predators wild matchup tonight here at Bridgestone Arena. We do that next to kick off the fourth and final hour on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.